Raise your hand if you're already dead. My hands went up on both. Why? Because I'm not talking about physical death. When I say death and dead, that's a very disturbing word. It's an uncomfortable subject. But I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about life. Say life.
Life.
Well, why did you say death then? Because there is a type of life that we have to understand that only comes from recognizing that there is a death we have to die, a death to self, a death to our old way, a death to our opinions, even about God. We have to recognize that there is something for us called newness of life, but the way into this newness, as it says here in our text of Scripture, it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we, say even so me.
Even
so me. Say, I got to be raised, but I got to
die first.
Amen. Now, life is such a great thing. Life happens at many levels. The lowest form of life we see, maybe it's plant life. You know, we'll cut the grass and kill the grass. Don't even think about the grass dying. You know, plants, then there's animals. People feel different about animals, you know. In fact, some folk, animals like their best friend, all right? And then you got like the highest life of all is the life of God. And beneath that is people, human life. We're made in God's image. Now, the life we're talking about is the life of God. The life that even death, physical death, cannot stop. You know what? When you are born again, when you're a Christian, when your body stops, when you stop living physically, when your body dies, you continue to live. Because guess what? There's something more to you than what I see.
Right.
Say, thank God.
Thank God.
And vice versa for me. That there is this truth that we are a spiritual being. We have a soul and live in a body. See, I am a spiritual being.
I have a soul
and I live in a body.
Now,
when the body ceases to function, where do you go? You're going somewhere. Now, some say, well, when you stop living, you're like dogs and cats, just turn off like a light. You know, it's just over. Now, listen, when dog and cat dies, they're just gone. There's no cat heaven. There's no dog heaven. Now, I hate to shock you now. Some of you think your dog, your Fido won't be in heaven with you. No, he won't be there. Because that form of life cannot live eternally. Because cats and dogs were not made in God's image. But you were made in God's image and likeness. Therefore, you were designed to be with God. See,
I was designed
to be with God. You belong with him. You really do. You belong with God.
Hallelujah.
Say, neighbor, say, neighbor.
You belong with God.
So go ahead and die. If you have to. I don't mean physically die now. Talking about life. We're talking about life. There's a saying that says, it goes this way. It says, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. It means that when you're born once, born of your mother, you die twice. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to die physically. But if you're born twice, born of your mother and then born of the Spirit, born again, born of God, you only die once, physically. You got that? Now, Jesus makes all this possible. We're talking about life and walking in the newness of life. This word newness is interesting. Only used twice in the New Testament in this way. Now, again, other versions say new life. But newness is a unique word. And it means this. It means to be in the new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us so as to produce a new state, which is eternal life. Hear it again. It is in a new state or phase, new state of life, in which the Holy Spirit places us so as to produce a new state, which is eternal life. Now, newness is a new state of life. It's another level. Say a new level.
A new level.
But listen, but this new level brings it to another level. Now watch this, watch this. See, sometimes we think about new life or newness in one dimension. Okay, I'm saved. I got saved. That's it. Oh, no. That was the first stage. Getting saved, becoming a Christian, that was the first state. But that sets you up for another state. Let me give you an example. How many of you here today have a high-definition TV at home? How many have HD TV? Only three of y'all? How many have an HD TV at home? No widescreen TV. How many still got the square thing? The big tube that heavy. Wow. Y'all still got the old tube TVs. But listen, watch this now. When HD TVs first came out, there was a problem. The problem was we had this widescreen, high def HD TV, but we did not have programming. All the shows were almost all we call low def or standard definition. So we're trying to watch old shows on a new big screen TV, and the problem was this, that the old shows looked worse on a new TV. Now listen, having a TV HD is like the new state, the first state. That, okay, I'm saved. I know about God. Good for you. But if you stop there, it's like having an HD TV with no HD programming, nothing to watch. Now, if you understand the fact, okay, I got an HD TV. They gave me one. Well, now you got to sign up for HD programming on your cable channel or get it off the air. Again, what's the point to having a HD TV and have no HD programming? That's like being a Christian and not walking in newness. Listen, y'all, the newness isn't just becoming a Christian or being in church. The newness is about what Jesus wants to do after you get to know him. Watch this. Newness means it is the new state in life, or new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us so as to produce a new state, which is called eternal life. God wants to get you ready for something greater. Say, God wants to get me ready for something greater. Understand that. Whatever you've got now, thank God, I've got a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, a wonderful church, and great things in my life. But see, you never want to settle. Don't settle. Say, I won't settle. Now, it's good to be content. Content is good. Content means this. I'm content when I've done everything I can do that God told me to do. I'm doing the best I can. Okay, I'm reaching for God. I'm content with my effort, with my faith walk. But to settle is to know there's more God has for you and not go for it.
All
right. To know God has more for you. He has a better life for you. He has a better job, better opportunities. Better friends. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know, and you settle by not going for the best that God has for you. So then walking in newness of life, newness is about not settling. So
I won't settle.
It's good to get to that first stage, the first level, but why would you stop there? Why just get HDTV and get no programming? Why are you still playing VHS tapes? No one has VHS tapes, right? Y'all got VHS still? And cassettes? Now, nobody has LP records. Nobody's doing vinyl, right? No LP records, right? Y'all do LP? All right, here's what nobody got. 8-track. No, 8-track tape. One person doing 8-track. Two. 8-track. Well, I'm going to do a seminar, okay, for you all. But listen, newness, walking in newness, listen, y'all, if something is new, you haven't seen it before. That's why we call it new. Things that are new you haven't seen before. You know, God has new stuff for you. Say, God has new things for me. Oh, God has stuff you haven't seen before. He can do way, way more than you can imagine. But when you settle, you don't get to see those things. The Bible says that Jesus came and gave his life to save us. We know that, to redeem us from our sins. But it goes on to say that the text said there that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the what? Newness of life. Wow, we should want that. I want it. How about you? I don't want to settle. Because when I settle, man, I get in trouble when I settle. I get in trouble. My thoughts go crazy. My hope goes down. My frustration rises. I get irritable. I mean, the old Brian, oh, my goodness. If I settle too long, I start cussing again. And when you settle, that old stuff just come right back in again. Watch yourself sometime. You say you love God, you know God, and sometimes you go off. Why are you going off? We should never go off. We should never go off. Even when somebody is fussing at you and cussing you out, you say, well, God bless you. Because listen, when you're in newness of life, you can even handle crazy people. Come on, somebody. Crazy folk. I mean, listen, God, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means all things. Big things, small things, crazy things. All things. See, listen, y'all, walking in newness of life makes this happen. Now, listen. But again, to experience resurrection, you first have to die. And the death we're talking about here is a death to self. We have to recognize that in ourselves, we are rebellious, we're cantankerous, we are stubborn. Amen, somebody. I mean, just plain old us. We're a mess. And there's no helping a mess. Sometimes a mess, you know, listen, y'all, when you have a big issue, like at your house, you got a big problem, big mess going on, something can happen. And there's stuff all down the basement. I mean, sometimes you just can't rearrange but so much stuff, you know. Now it's time to back up, just get a dumpster, man. One time we got a dumpster for our house. We got a dumpster. We thought it was too big. That's too big of a dumpster. I mean, a big one, a big giant thing. Had it parked on the driveway under a window over our garage, a bonus room. And the idea was to throw stuff out the window into the dumpster. I thought we'd never fill that thing up. We began throwing stuff out that window and bringing stuff out the front door. That dumpster got full. And the house didn't look empty. Sometimes, y'all, you got to just back up a dumpster in your spiritual life, in your mental life, in your social life, and start dumping stuff out. That's like what it means to die. Death means separation. The word death means to separate. Separate. So then physical death is what? Separation from physical life. But I want to die to myself. I want to die to the things that have bound me. Well, you can't do it by yourself. But listen, he says here, the text said in Romans 6, it said in verse 3, those of us who are baptized into Christ, that word baptized doesn't mean just water. It means brought into, brought under, buried into. When you are buried into Christ, you are buried into his death. So that when you think about Easter, you saw the play, you saw with Christ, the story about Christ, how he died. You see him on the cross. You don't think, wow, what a shame he died like that. Or you think, wow, he did that for me. That is, I see myself, my sins, put him on that cross. My sins took him to a place I had to go to. Now, thank God, he died for us, so I don't have to die that way. Crucifixion is beyond comprehension. There's only one movie I ever saw that showed it almost right. That was The Passion of the Christ. I've seen the film twice, actually 1.5 times. I can't watch it. It's too hard to watch. I mean, I watch it. I mean, it's gruesome, but Christ died that way, and I did that to him. Not himself. He didn't die because of his own sins. But here's the thing. The way he died, The intensity of it, it says this: he loves you that much. He loves me that much. And when I enter in to that death, and I can do it by faith, thank God, I can do it by faith and not have to be nailed to a cross myself. How many folk would get saved right now? We say, okay, here's a cross. Here's a hammer and nails. We're going to nail you to a cross. Come on. Who wants to die? I mean, really die. No one wants to die that way. Christ did it for us. Now, when you're buried with him, baptized, as it were, into that death, then you then die spiritually. You are separated from all the stuff that held you back and held you down. Then it says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, watch this, even so we. Even so, we say, even so,
me.
That we should also walk. Jesus walked in that life, and now we have the opportunity and the invitation to also walk in that same life. You got that? So understand that all that Jesus did, I mean, he fed the multitudes, he healed the sick, man, he lived a sinless life. Everything he did up to dying on the cross was amazing, was awesome. But what he did after he died was even more amazing. It had been enough for him to have just taught, fed, helped people, loved people, you know, been kind to those who were in sin. That would have been a whole book of blessing all by itself. But see, to achieve the newness of life, he had to go a step farther. And therefore, he gave his life up. He allowed himself to die. Now, let's be clear about this. Nobody killed Jesus. No one took his life. Look at John 19 quickly. John 19, let me show you. I'll read it to you. John 19, verse 8. Jesus Christ is before Pontius Pilate on trial. They're asking him questions. He's not answering them. Not saying a word, just standing there, listening. And then Pilate says to him, "Where are you from?" Verse 9, or verse 8. But Jesus gave no answer. Then verse 10. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me?" See, Pilate was a big shot. He was a big man, you know, important in his own mind. He was a legend in his own mind, all right? He says, "Do you not know I have the power to crucify you or to release you?" And Jesus said, now he spoke up. Jesus said, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above." And then while teaching one day in John 10, he taught the disciples this very important, powerful truth for us to hear today. He said, John 10:17, Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Watch this, verse 18. "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself." Watch this. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Wow. Say wow.
Wow.
Say it backwards. We're talking about life here. So that when Jesus died, he's going to come back. He knew it. It's a matter of time. Even they tried to kill him before the time. Couldn't kill him. They came to attack him, to push him off a cliff. He passed right through them. I mean, just walked right, I mean, dematerialized and walked through people. Like movie stuff. Miraculous, crazy stuff. Because he had power. When you got power, you can do all kinds of amazing things. Jesus has power. Now, I say power, you say power. I mean, we have power like, you know, electricity and atomic power, but we're talking about a whole different kind of power because it's a whole different kind of life. Talk about a life with power that you need. See, I need this power. Listen, we know it's important because when they crucified Jesus, when he allowed himself to die, went up on the cross, they pierced his body, all that they did to him, and he physically died. He was verifiably dead, and some say he just passed out. See, now he didn't pass out. The Romans knew how to kill you, all right? If the Romans say they're going to kill you, you fixing to be dead physically. He was gone. We're just physically dead. But listen, because of the power to lay his life down and a power to take it back up again in 3 days, God said, it's time. It's time to come back from the dead. Now, that's so amazing until nobody understood that. Because the Bible says that when Jesus Christ died, the disciples, they despaired. They fell apart. Because they thought he was coming, Christ came to restore God's kingdom, to save them all, bring them all back to glory, whatever. But when Christ died, like, man, he's dead. He actually dead. And Peter was so despondent. Peter, bless his heart, was so despondent. He camped out by the fire. And while Christ is being tried, he's out by the fire and just all broke down. And so someone said, hey, I recognize you. You with Jesus. Peter said, No, I wasn't. No. He denied Jesus. God said, hey, man, I know it was you. Peter said, heck no. He cursed. Read it. I don't know what he said, but he cursed. He's out there, y'all. He's gone. You ever been gone? You ever been out there? You ever been so far? You ever cussed? Well. What does that mean? Yes. Because you just, you know, you don't have newness and oldness is all up in you. And you're full of you. Full of you. Worst thing in the world, man, is be full of yourself. With all the issues we got and you're full of that. Oh, my goodness. Well, Peter was full of himself. But thank God, you know, when Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, first thing he said was, go find Peter. Tell him I'm back. He knew Peter was all messed up. See, Christ, when he sees you messed up, people push you away. People are ashamed of us. We embarrass people. That's right. You know, they just run from us. But Jesus reaches out for you. At the worst moment, when you've done the worst thing, Jesus reaches for you. Why? He has power. People ain't got the power to help you. That's why they back up. They back away. They know it. I can't help you. Huh? They even tell you, I can't help you. Don't call me no more. But Jesus has the power. He has this power to lay life down and take life up. Listen, y'all, if he can take up his life, he can take up your life. If he can lay his life down, he can take it back. He can take my life back. Do you believe that? So all that he did, that was all stage one. Before the cross, that was that first stage, that first level, that first state of life. But when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he then went into the second level, second stage, second state of life, in which he walked in something called newness, a whole new level of life. And the good news is for all of us, because he loves us, he wants to help us walk in that same life. In John 10:10, Christ said this. He said, I came to give them life, and that life more abundantly. Not many people in this world want to give you something. Most folk trying to get something from you, trying to get you to buy this and sell you that and get you off in this scheme and get you all committed contract. You know, we had a deal one time years ago with somebody. Well, I lost track of what's happening, and I had a staff member to sign us up for a contract for rugs. Throw rugs. Two of them, one by each door. It was a 3-year contract. 3-year contract with Cintas. Also, she gone now with Cintas. I mean, you know, that's hard. I wasn't paying attention. I said, okay, it's my fault. But it's amazing. You can just not be alert for a brief time and get hooked up in some stuff. You're paying for it for years. But you know what? If that happens, God is still with you. He'll do one of two things. God will help you cancel debt. He can cancel debt. He can get you out of something. But if he don't get you out, he'll be with it. He'll be with you in it. Oh, Pastor, I was hoping for a minute I could get out of my relationship with my wife or my friend. And no, you married. You there. Stay there. God will help you. Say, God will help me. Married people, be encouraged. Because every marriage, even the marriages made in heaven, they will show up. But the same Jesus who said, I got the power of life, can bring power to your relationships. I've seen God do it over and over again. Some of y'all got children. You really stuck with them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're all different. They're all different. And some children get on your nerve like, oh, wow, come on. Come on, man, come on. That don't help. You want to fuss, you rant, you rave. No one likes you fussing. Fussing helps nothing. Especially when wives fuss at husbands. They'll tip married people, wife, don't fuss at a husband. He can't take that voice. Don't go there. Just don't do that. Lower your voice, something. It's like scratching on a... And then husbands, you know, don't answer the question. Answer her question. Speak up, dude. But whatever, it's a scratchy voice or a man who doesn't do anything, the same Jesus who rose from the dead, he said, just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in the what? Say it again. One more time. Newness of life. It's time for some newness. It's time for newness. Say, neighbor. It's time for newness in your life and my life. You believe that? And so the bottom line is this. It all starts when you die. So how do you die? You die when you surrender that stubborn, rebellious self to God. You die when you identify with Jesus' death, right? It isn't just him on the cross. I'm on the cross with him. I put myself up here with him. And then we're baptized into that death, into that separation from things that bring us down and disturb us. Then we are buried. So water baptism symbolizes we're dead, we're buried, and we come back to life. That's the whole thing of baptism in water. But the truth is, the baptism that you need and I need isn't in the water only. It first happens spiritually. It happens when I decide, repent of my sins, release this stubborn self, let my pride of opinion go. Now, God always lets you keep your personality. That always stays intact. Thank God for that. But that part, there's parts of us, man, I mean, come on, y'all. We get in the mirror and say, I don't like Brian. That was dumb what you said today, boy. You know, we have that self-talk going on sometimes. We tell ourselves stuff. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes it's truth. Whatever it is, it all needs to die. And then once we have submitted and surrendered to God and been separated from the old ways, now we're candidates to be raised up to walk in newness. That Jesus, the new life he gave us, He shed his blood, gave us opportunity to be born again, to be saved. But even after you're saved, we can be renewed and restored. We can be revived. You believe that? Yes. I mean, we Christians sometimes, and we get a little stale sometimes, you know. Now, people bring out like salads for like dinner. I never eat croutons. You know why? They always stale. Croutons is stale bread. That's what a crouton is, stale bread. Unless you're hot, out of the oven. Otherwise, all croutons are stale bread. And sometimes we like croutons. Just tossed on top, not even warm. We just there. We just showed up. Come on, somebody. You got that? I ain't no crouton. All right, I understand. Point is, we let ourselves settle. And when you settle, there's no newness. Contentment is good now, but to settle is bad. So my invitation to you here is very simple. So let's follow Jesus. Follow where he walked. Follow him to the cross. Thanking God that, wow, he took that punishment so I wouldn't have to. Every now and then, before I came to Christ, I would have to take some punishment. I would do stuff and get in trouble from time to time. And I would suffer a little bit. And it was hard. It was hard stuff. But now I learned, but why? Boy, stop all that. Let Jesus pay it for you. If I let him suffer for me, I can stop that kind of suffering. He will save me from the type of lifestyle that keeps me going toward a path that runs into the wall, hurting myself every kind of way. He says here, Jesus says now to us, he said, I came to give you life. I want you to have life and that more abundantly. Now it's time for us. Let's go ahead and be buried. Let's say, Lord, I'm gonna die in my thinking. I'm gonna die to my old ways. I'm gonna die to my old patterns and habits. As you help me, Holy Spirit, I'm gonna be buried. I'm gonna separate from this old stuff. And that when you raise me up, here's the trick, when he raises you up, then you begin to walk in newness of life. Until we get rid of or release from things we know aren't helpful, and God helps us do that, but you have to decide. It's called repentance. It means turn around. Repentance means to change your mind. It means to change direction. Repentance won't save us, but it put us in position where we can die. And then when we identify with Christ's death, we follow him to the grave, and he was buried, and our sins are buried with him. And all this, and all the punishment he had, his body was so beaten until, this sounds gruesome, but it's true. They used a whip that had iron bits embedded. And they would hit him and pull it. It would shred the skin. Skin laid down in layers, strips. It was horrible. That's enough I'll say about that, okay? But listen, he died like that, but he rose without that. He only rose with two things. Holes, nail prints in the hands and feet, just as reminders. All of the scars and bruises and injuries were totally wiped away. He just kept those two to remind us when we see him that I went through this for you. Here's the point. We've been beaten up, not as bad as Jesus, thank God. But you've been beaten up by life. I know I have been. Have you? Stuff happens, right? But man, listen, when you go ahead and die, just go ahead and die. Like a friend of mine said to me, Brian, shut up and die. All right, man. I was talking real crazy. He had to be blunt with me. All right, shut up and die. I get it. I understand it. However God makes it clear to you. But when you die with Jesus, you're then qualify for resurrection. Say, I qualify for resurrection after I die. And now that we have been raised or are going to be raised, we can now walk in the newness of life. You got that? Say, I got it. Let's all stand. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you.